Acts chapter 18 with me, please. Acts chapter 18. We're going to finish up this chapter this morning with the Lord's help. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled Apollos, a man on fire for God. Apollos, a man on fire for God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I confess to you this morning, I can do nothing apart from your Spirit that will be effective for eternity. Lord, I pray that my words would only be acceptable in your sight, my God and my Savior. And I pray that they would be encouraging to the people, Lord, that have gathered here this morning to hear the Word of God and to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would change our lives. Spirit of the living God, we need you to change us. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, illumine us, Lord, to the truth of thy word this morning. And God, may we not leave here the same as we came in. And may you be glorified through this message, my God, is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Apollos, a man on fire for God. Let me first of all give you the setting of our passage here. You'll remember that Paul was finishing up his second missionary journey and getting ready to start his third. In fact, this will be the context of him doing that very thing of beginning his third missionary journey. And in the transition, we see some things transpire here that really are encouraging to just show us the evidence of the Word of God and how powerful it is and how it's effective and how it impacts people and changes people. The setting of this passage takes place in Ephesus. Who did Paul leave in Ephesus when he went on, when he felt like he needed to get to Jerusalem? Who did he leave there? Somebody tell me. Who's that? Yeah, well, specifically, there's a couple, a married couple. Who was there? Aquila and Priscilla. That's right. And they were great friends of his. They were God-fearers, and they loved the Lord, and they had a great testimony. And they would be there. And that is very important to understand. Because God's going to send someone their way that they're going to be able to pour their lives into the same way Paul poured his life into Aquila and Priscilla. We'll see that here in just a moment. But you see, during this time where Aquila and Priscilla are discipling the believers of Ephesus, which is really going to be a major point there where a church is planted, and God's going to move mightily as we get into chapter 19. We're going to see the Lord do amazing things in Ephesus. But nevertheless, there's a discipleship going on there. There's a church being planted. Paul is not there at the time, but Aquila and Priscilla are. And notice that during this time, God sends a man by the name of Apollos. Now, he comes from the city of Alexandria, which is in Egypt. And he comes from that location. We don't know all the details why he was coming into Ephesus, but we do understand that God led him there. And we see why. And now, Alexandria was located in Egypt and was founded by Alexander the Great. And we see here some specific things about this city. It was one at the time one of the greatest cities in the world. This is at a time where you'll remember Nineveh and Babylon. Those cities had fallen, and Rome had not risen to the top at this time. And so really, one of the greatest cities in the world at this time was Alexandria in Egypt. And so we know there was a strong population of Jews in this city, estimated up to perhaps 10,000 Jewish people in this city. And Apollos was a Jew who came from there. In fact, Easton's Bible Dictionary says this about Alexandria, that at one time it is said that this city possessed a famous library of 700,000 volumes, which was eventually burned in 642. But it was a city that was known for the education that was received, the intellectuals that were there, and the Greek philosophy even that was mixed with the Hebrew religion, by the way. And we'll talk more about that another time. But it's another fact about Alexandria is this, where what we call the Septuagint version of the Bible was translated. This is where 70 learned men were engaged in executing it. Okay, and so some interesting facts about this city. But this is where Apollos came from. And it was clear that Apollos was a learned man. But there was something else about him that set him apart from the rest, from many, I should say, that set him apart to be greatly used of God. And with the Lord's help this morning, I want to focus on what set Apollos apart in the way that he was used mightily of the Lord. Notice with me there just for a moment in this phrase in verse number 25 of your Bible. Look there in your Bible. It says that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. And underline this phrase in your Bible. It says, and being fervent in the Spirit. Fervent in the Spirit. What does that phrase mean? Well, I believe this can be interpreted as saying this man was a man on fire for God. He was, you've maybe heard that expression, and it, I believe it comes from passages just like this, because let me bring your attention to that word fervent. It is the Greek word zeo, and it means to boil with heat, to be red hot, to be fiery hot. And we know that that is exactly what the Bible is seeking to describe to us. This was a man that was truly on fire for the Lord God Almighty. Now, it's unique because we're going to find out that as a process of the book of Acts is a transitional book, there are some things that he still did not know, very important things that he was not aware of that God's going to reveal to him. But even with the light he had, he was on fire for the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was fervent. Let me draw your attention while you're holding your book there, your place there in Acts. Just flip over real quick to Romans chapter 12. We see this same word used again. It's the same Greek word as well, because we see fervent in other portions of Scripture, but it's not the same Greek word. There are some similarities, but it's only used twice in the Greek. And the other one is in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Paul is exhorting the Christians in Rome here. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And notice verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. There it is. You can underline that. It's the same one. You can put a cross reference there. It's the same word. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, it is God's will, church, for every Christian to be on fire for God. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's people hanging from the chandeliers, my friends. But it does mean that it's a people that has a true heart to know God more, to love God more, and to serve God more. And by the way, to be excited about it. Sometimes when I, as a Christian, I look at some people's lives as Christians and I wonder, are you excited about being a believer? Are you excited about going to heaven? Are you excited about having your sins forgiven? Are you excited about Jesus Christ loving you with an everlasting love? Are you excited about not going to hell for all eternity? Are you excited that God loves you, friend? I tell you, that's something to get excited about, isn't it? I'm afraid there's some believers in this world, I'm afraid they get way more excited about many other things. But when it comes to living the Christian life, there becomes a dull. And my hope this morning is to see from the Word of God that God's will is for every one of His children, no matter what age group you are in, is to be on fire for God. To be fervent in spirit. That word there that we looked at in Romans, it says, be not slothful in business. That word could also mean an enthusiasm or speed or diligence. You know, we are not to be slothful in our walk with God and in our service to the Lord. But we are to be excited about it. A coal seam fueled eternal flame, you may have heard of it. There are several eternal flames located around the globe, but this one is probably the most famous. It's located in South Wales, Australia, known as Burning Mountain. Here you will find where they have this coal seamed fueled eternal flame has been burning, they estimate, for 6,000 years. Now, I don't know that that's been that long, but they estimate that it has been a very long time, longer than any other that they know of. This natural flame, it is burning within the earth. They say right now it continues to get deeper, but right now they say it's about 90 feet deep from the surface of the earth. But it continues to burn. People go there, it's a tourist attraction, but it's been burning for literally thousands of years. That's pretty interesting if you like those type of things, but I want to tell you what's more interesting than that, and that is this. God, by way of spiritual application to that, God has put a supernatural fire in every one of His children. And that fire, believer, was put in you on the day that you were born again. That day you received Christ, you had a flame, and His name is the Holy Spirit. You say, why are you calling the Holy Spirit a flame? Well, I'm not necessarily giving Him an official title of a flame, but the Word of God does say, quench not the Spirit. The word idea there is extinguish or put out the flame. And I want to tell you, God's put a flame in you, friend. You got a flame in you as a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a flame. You have no flame at all. You need to be given a flame. But those of you that have a flame, perhaps need your flame rekindled this morning. Perhaps it's grown dim. Perhaps there's only a flicker, if you will. You see, we see in Apollos a man who was on fire for the Lord. And I would like to notice three glowing characteristics of a Christian on fire for God as seen in the life of Apollos. Number one, I want you to notice with me a characteristic of someone who's on fire for God is diligence. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 24. It says that he was named Apollos from Alexandria, an eloquent man. That refers to a man who was well-spoken. He was educated. He was a learned man. He could speak very well. But notice the next phrase I want you to see. And mighty in the Scriptures. My friends, that ought to be the desire of every one of us. That we would have a testimony that when somebody's describing us, and the Holy Spirit's the one describing Apollos right here, through the handwriting of Luke, from the penmanship of Luke, we see that he says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. Well, what does that mean? I believe that he was a diligent student of the Word of God. I believe he loved the Bible. Now, at the time, he had the Old Testament, okay? He didn't have the whole completed Bible. And we're going to see even more evidence of that he didn't have the whole Bible, because he's going to realize that he was following under the baptism of John. But God's going to work in his heart, because he is serious about what he does know. And my friends, if we would just focus on the fact of the things we do know, that would make a world of a difference. And trying to make excuses in life, well, I don't know these things and know about that things. What do we know? But this man was a great student of the Word of God. It carries the idea of strong, not only in knowledge, but strong in application. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He had a strong love for the Word of God. It wasn't this knowledge that puffs up. Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians 8:1. There was a crowd that, boy, they were puffed up. They were just puffed up with knowledge. They had lots of facts and lots of things, and boy, they flaunted that knowledge. And he said, fellas, that's nothing but puffed up. That's not what Apollos had here. He had a knowledge that had a zeal, because we know there's also a such thing as a zeal without knowledge. There are some people that get zealous about things that aren't biblical, things that aren't truth. But we do know here that he had both. And I believe when you see somebody that's on fire for God, you're going to see that they have a passion for the Word of God. Can I ask you this morning, what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about your Bible this morning? Do you get excited about reading your Bible? Do you love opening up the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you? I want to tell you, we don't always have that, but we should strive for that. Because that's going to be an evidence that you are on fire for God. You are fervent in spirit. But when we are not having a love for the Word of God, you can always trace it back, my dear brothers and sisters, to something that is quenching the flame. Something is causing me not to like my Bible. Something is causing me not to want to be excited about the Word of God and not excited about the preaching of the Word of God. How do you like preaching, church? Do you like the preaching of the Word of God? Do you like the teaching of the Word of God? My friends, I believe someone's on fire for God. There's going to be a diligence when it comes to the Word of God, of wanting to know it, wanting to understand it, wanting to love it, wanting to let it just change their lives. Can I say this? The Word of God, not only the Word of God here with Apollos, not only gripped his mind, but it gripped his heart. That should be the goal of every one of us. Lord, just don't let this Word grip my mind, but let it grip my heart. You see, that's what we're asking the Lord this morning. What about a day when you thought about memorizing and there was an excitement there about memorizing the Word of God? Verses you kept on cards so that you could review from time to time and reflect on. What about those times that you kept that Bible in your car so you could just take it out and read at times? You see, that's somebody that's on fire for God. There's just always a desire to be in the Word. His life was the Word. There was diligence. I like what Charles Bridges said. He said, faith without diligence is slumbering delusion. Faith without diligence is slumbering delusion. And folks, my prayer is that my heart would grow and that your heart would grow for the love of the Word of God. Hey, listen, don't expect your children to get excited about the Bible when parents, you don't get excited. Don't expect your kids to want to enjoy the family Bible reading when you are not interested at all in opening up your Bible in the living room or the kitchen table. Saying, hey kids, let's hear from the Word of God. Nothing artificial or superficial, but because God's got it burning a fire in your heart, we're going to love the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you got me there. Well, listen, if you're a Christian, the flame is still there. Never forget that. It just may need to be rekindled. Number two, the characteristics I see not only is diligence that I see in Apollos in verse 24, but then I see boldness. I see that this man had the power of God on him. He was on fire for the Lord, because we see that evidence through his boldness. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says that he spake and taught diligently. That word carries the idea of accurately. He studied and rightly divided the word of truth, and he spake it. He spake those things of the Lord. And the Bible says, knowing only the baptism of John. And what that phrase means is that he, I believe, would have come to Christ under the ministry of John the Baptist, or as a result of John the Baptist's ministry, which what his message was, remember, repentance. That was the message of John the Baptist, was repent. Why? Because the Messiah is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. So people would respond to that and they would believe, because they believed. That's how people in the Old Testament got saved, by the way. They believed that Jesus would come and that He would die and that He would rise again and that He would save them. And we know that the suffering Savior is even spoken of Isaiah 53. And we understand that there was an understanding there. But there was, even with the light He had, there was a boldness. Look at verse 26. And He began, when He got to the synagogue, notice what the word says, to speak what? Boldly. So He spoke the Word of God with accuracy. He studied it enough to have a way to respond to people who He was ministering to, who He's sharing the gospel with. And He did it unashamedly. You know, folks, we know the fire has been quenched when there's no speaking and sharing of the Word of God. We can't get around that. Church, let's just let God convict us, okay? We can't make excuse for that. We can try to make every excuse why we do not consistently and diligently give the Word of God. But if we're going to get honest this morning, the reason we don't give the Word of God out with boldness is because we are not on fire for God. And I'm preaching to Brinson Jennings here. I've let something get in and quench it where I am not wanting to share it with boldness. Apollos was passionate about sharing the Word of God. I want to tell you, can I just be transparent, real honest with you this morning? It's a lot easier for me to get up here and preach this morning to people who I know love the Word of God and are here for church. You showed up. You didn't get out of bed because it felt good to get out of bed. You came here because that's a lot easier than me walking out of here and going out in public and sharing the Word of God. I want you to know it's a challenge for this preacher too. Pray for me. But I want to be on so fire for God where it is just like second nature. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus today. We need the help of God. We need God's Spirit to burn brightly in our souls. Many Christians are like Arctic rivers, one preacher said, frozen at the mouth. And it's true. You've been there, I've been there. It's like we're frozen when it comes to God's precious Word. Now listen, now you bring up politics, so we get real bold. Uh-oh. I'm going to start preaching now. But we see boldness here of sharing the Word of God. Number three, Apollos was diligent. We see a characteristics of his boldness. And then thirdly, we see the characteristic of humility. Notice with me what happens here. The Word of God says in chapter 18, right here at verse number 26. After he spake boldly, notice what happened. Aquila and Priscilla had heard him. They heard him speak. And they took him unto them. And by the way, that word took him is not just pulled him aside. In the Greek, it's clearer. It's talking about they actually took him into their residence. It's a much more stronger word of taking in. It's not just like, come here, I got to tell you something. It's like, come with me. Come with me. Come with us. And they took him, and notice what they did. It says that when they took him unto them, they did what? They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I believe that a third characteristic of somebody that's on fire for God is a characteristic of humility. Somebody who is just hungry, for growth in their own life. Hungry for to be changed by the Word of God and to learn to what God has for their lives, and they are basically teachable. And what I see right here is an eager submission to God's Word, because from this account, we see that this is what happened. Now this goes against our pride, I'm telling you it does. But basically what they did, and they did it in a gentle, gracious way, which makes reproof and correction so much better. Can I get an amen right there? I'm so thankful that when all of us are in need of it. But when someone's gracious and gentle, but it's some truth that we need to hear, and they share it with us, and boy, that makes it much more palatable. And I'm thankful for that. That's what happened here. They brought Apollos to their home, and they basically said, "Apollos, you did a great job," because the Word of God says that he spoke boldly. They spoke boldly. They listened. And I can just imagine him saying this. This is using my imagination. This is just what I can imagine. They said, "Apollos, we appreciate your boldness. We appreciate you speaking the scriptures. But you're missing something very important. There's more you need to know. We know the more perfect way. You see, you are preaching repentance in light of the baptism of John, yes, in light of the Messiah, but you need to understand that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, He has come, He has died, He was buried, He rose again, and when He left us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine somebody that was prideful like I've been and you've been, when somebody comes up and to correct us and say, look, you're doing good, but you got to change something in your life. There's something that needs to be touched. There's something that you need to give attention to. A lot of us will buck up then. Oh, they're just picking on me. You just judging me. Why are you judging me? You know what that is a true sign of? Somebody that is not on fire for God. But you get somebody that says, brother, sister, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Thank you for helping me understand, bringing some light on that. I'm going to think on that. I want to grow in my life. I want things to be brought to my attention. I haven't arrived. And Apollos, who was being used mightily of God, could say, don't you, Aquila and Priscilla, see me preaching with boldness? You see those people listening to me? I don't need to change my message. I don't need to add anything to my message. It wasn't his spirit. His spirit was humility. Because he had the fire of God on his life. And my friends, I want to tell you right now, if we're going to have the fire of God on our lives, we have got to be teachable. We have got to be conformable. Conformable to the person of Christ. And God's going to use these things to bend us and redirect us and change us. He's going to use people in our lives. Are you open to it? Are you open to correction? Are you open to God speaking truth into you through another believer in Christ? Are you going to flare up? I want to tell you, if that's your case, then you are quenching the Spirit of God. The flame wants to burn brightly. But I want to tell you, the contrary is different. If we come through teachable and let the Lord, we just let God humble us. You talk about that flame, boy, just glowing brightly. I want a real big flame. Amen. Don't y'all want a real big flame? Be on fire for God? Well, you just got to be ready. Just let God teach you some things. Let God humble you and me. We have not arrived. There are things we don't know. There are things that do need to change. And we got to be real with God. We just got to let Him do it. And will the fire of God be on your life and my life? You better believe it will. God declares it. Those of you that like working with metal, they say the forging temperature is the temperature at which a metal becomes substantially more soft. Substantially more soft. Now get this. How does it get more soft? This is pretty crazy. The temperature that it has to get in, it is lower than the melting temperature because they don't want to melt the metal, but they do want to bend it and work with it. And bringing that metal to its forging temperature allows the metal shape to be changed by applying a relatively small force without creating cracks. For instance, stainless steel needs to be at about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit to be moldable, to be bendable, to be conformable to the model that they're trying to reach. You know what I thought about when I thought about that illustration is there's so many times I can just be so hard-headed. Sometimes I can be so hard-hearted when God is trying to confront me on something and God is trying to teach me something and I don't want anybody bending me. But when I have the power of God on my life and I have the fire of God and I'm on fire for God, I'm telling you what, friends, we're going to be bendable. Even that hard steel that many of us can be, you know, if we're walking with God, God will be able to work with us. No matter how stubborn of a personality you may have, if we'll put forth the spirit of humility, I want to tell you, God can use us. God can use us. Diligence. Love for the Word of God. Where's your love at, friend? Has something quenched your love for the Word of God? What about your boldness? Just being unashamed and sharing the gospel as much as you can. I think about old John and Peter. John and Peter who were taking a good old whooping. I can't imagine. And they asked, "What in the world are you thinking, boys?" You know what they said in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. He said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." He said, "We can't help it." We can't. I want that in my life, Brother Mark, Brother Jim, Brother Jerry. Hey, I want that characteristic in my life when I walk out of 176 Palmer Court. I'm asking God to help me to go out today where I just can't help but talk about Jesus. I want that, Brother Ralph. Sadly, I admit many times it's not there. I walk out of my house with many other priorities. But I want the priority that I can't help but talk about Jesus today. Not just because I'm a pastor and not because it's an occupation that I come in on Sundays and Wednesdays and just because I talk to people. I want to talk to strangers. I want to talk to people. Not because I'm a pastor. Yes, that's a part of it. But because I'm on fire for God. That's what I want my testimony to be. I want to be humble. And humility is not easy for any of us. It's just not. It goes against our nature. But if we want the fire of God on us, my friends, we're going to be humble. I love camping. It's one of my favorite hobbies. And I especially, and some of you, this is where we're going to separate. Some of you love camping, but I love camping in cold weather. I love tent camping in cold weather. Me and my buddies, we used to think, our goal was to pick the coldest day of the year and go tent camping. I think one year our record was 15 degrees. And would I do that today? Absolutely not. I'm 40, amen. I'm getting wise a little bit anyway. I got a few grays on here. But you know, I loved cold weather camping. And one of the things we did in cold weather camping, boy, what was so fun is we built a huge roaring fire. I mean, we'd be pulling wood from everywhere you could believe. There sometimes I went and bought this guy I worked with at Winn-Dixie. He would load, I had a little Toyota, 86 Toyota pickup, and I'm not kidding. I would pay $10 and he would fill that thing up over capacity. I mean, it would be wood, and it would be mainly just some stuff that he didn't want. Sometimes it was pine, sometimes it was just scrap things, but he would load that thing up, we would go camping, and we would build this huge fire. And man, we loved that fire, and man, but by the morning, we went to bed. By the morning, I would get up. You know, of course, the fire's out. But you know, it wouldn't take long. Take some kind of stick over there and some kind of poker. And man, you start moving some of those coals out of the way. Some of those ashes, all the wood burn up. You start moving, boy, you start feeling that heat. And it wouldn't take long. You just throw a couple twigs on there, a couple sticks. And man, instantly, boy, she would fire back up. And then you just start putting your sticks back on. And I want to tell you this morning, listen, maybe the fire in your life as a believer has been quenched. Maybe it's settled down to just some coals burning under the surface. What you need to do is you need to let the Holy Spirit of God stir you this morning. And you need to let the Holy Spirit of God, through the act of repentance, let Him put that straw and those sticks and those logs back on, and let God burn in your soul like one time before. And don't leave here a lukewarm, mediocre believer. Let's leave this church this morning on fire for God. Brother Arthur, the only way you're going to make a difference in the young people in our church is if you remain on fire for God, brother. The only way I'm going to be an effective pastor of Crooked Creek Baptist Church is if I will dedicate and commit myself to be on fire for God. And fill in the blank, daddy, mama, young person, in your school, the testimony, the only way we're going to make an impact on this world is determined that God, we want the spirit of Apollos. We want to be on fire for God. And you know what Apollos did? We know that he listened. And we know he took that counsel because notice what the Word of God says in verse 28. At verse 27. He said, after that, he was sent to Achaia. He was disposed to pass to Achaia. They sent him to the brethren. And look what the note they gave. They're not going to give a note to a church of some unteachable, rebellious man who is proud and full of himself. They're not going to do that. But what they did is they exhorted the disciples to what? Receive him. Who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Church, let's commit this morning. And we're going to do whatever it takes to be on fire for God. And may He be glorified in all that we do. Would you pray with me?